The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
This is the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is third generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
It's me. It's that D-O-double-G mobbing once again with Wild Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
I come with glad tidings.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Oh, warm light for all mankind.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Why the hell should I take orders from you?
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
Living legend who kind of lives up to the legend.
The Omega.
A man with breathtaking anger management issues.
Heartbreak Mike.
At this point, I doubt anything would surprise me.
$10 says you're wrong.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Do I look to be in a gaming mood?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're dealing with forces you can't control.
And on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
The humans think us immortal.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
Hey, this is Becky Baylor.
You're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
You are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I know where you live. I have seen the earth.
WTR Sunday night.
You have no idea what you're dealing with.
Shakespeare in the Park? Is everything a joke to you?
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm back from Tampa.
Really? We did a whole sound check. Really? Wow.
Nice to see everything is just as I left it.
Thank God you're back. Oh my God.
Bring some decorum back to this goddamn show.
You left me alone with him all last week.
I gave you an out. I told you. I asked you, would you be okay?
I survived, but barely. Barely.
You got me back now. I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of this network. You somehow get by 1 week without me. I don't know how.
We took phone calls. That's how.
That's one way to do it. Heartbreak Mike has the night off, so it is just me, the producer, Sir Rockin', and the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, it's me, and Omega. Brock was not very nice last week. He refused to do a ripoff of Enzo and Cass.
Why?
Because he didn't want to.
So tonight, Omega and Tim will be doing the parts of Enzo and Cass here for you on the show.
No. I don't have the hair for that.
What?
I would do Enzo. You could be Cass, because you're 7 foot tall, and you can't teach that.
Well, apparently not, because no one ever taught it to me.
There you go. You know what? Just roll with it. They can't see you anyway, so, you know. Tell them you're 7 feet tall, they have to believe you.
But, Tim, they actually can see him.
Yeah, I kind of make myself a public figure in this little way.
Yeah, but that's in other things, but not this thing. That's a different thing.
I mean, he is groupies coming up to him left and right. They know how tall he is.
How tall are you?
Tall enough.
He is tall enough. But he was at a con last week, and everyone knows his name.
Apparently so. At least a lot of people know the name.
Oh, my God. It's an episode of Cheers.
No. That's just one lyric from the theme song.
Instead of yelling Norm whenever you walk into the room, they yell Omega.
No, because it's the only place that calls me Omega anymore.
Would be here.
Yeah.
They call you long-haired plastic addict. Or did you get your hair cut yet?
No and no.
Oh, okay. What do they call you?
TJ, because it's like in the name of everything I do, except this.
And that other place. No, wait, no, that's on there too.
And I tried one day. It's like, hey, you asked me if I wanted to add something to the Omega name. I said, what about TJ Omega? And you went, eh.
I don't remember doing that.
I remember you doing that.
How long ago was that?
Like, God, like when I first joined the show.
Oh my God, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
That was like a decade ago.
Not like.
Has it been almost a decade now?
He was doing shit back in 2006, I remember that. But he wasn't like on the air.
Oh yeah, I was doing things as Omega for a long time, even before I joined up here.
Like when we had the forums, weren't you taking care of the forums?
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah. In name only.
Forums?
I was supposed to do it, didn't mean I actually did it.
Well, wait a minute. Rock doesn't know what we're talking about, Omega.
No, forums? What are forums? This is a bizarre concept, forums.
It's like the grandfather to social media.
Oh, okay.
Where you, like, logged into a place and then you would type in your thoughts and then wait for somebody to read it and then respond. It could take a week.
So with Twitter?
No, I said it could take a week.
Oh.
Twitter, if they don't care, they won't respond. It doesn't matter.
So I have to wait a week for someone to respond to something?
Yeah, I told you it was the olden days of the internet.
God, that would suck. I mean, in this day and age, you need an instant. Tweet someone, you get a response.
Only if they pay attention to you.
Only if they pay attention to you.
Like, when you have 945 followers, shit flies by really quickly and you could miss shit. You have at least 900 followers, don't you, Omega?
Seven away from 3,000.
There you go. See, he's got at least 900. So the answer would be yes.
Yes. 900 is a smaller number than 3,000. Congratulations, Tim.
So yes, at least. There you go. Yeah, officially, everybody, good evening. Welcome to WTR, Sunday Night Rush Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for joining us. We got a couple of things we could, you know, touch on and talk about. Not exactly a huge week in the world of the WWE. I mean, not much went down. New sets, title change, you know.
New sets, title change, the first episodes of the fucking brand split.
Stuff like that. Nothing huge to talk about. But, yeah, brand split. Let's talk about this WWE makeover. New sets for both Raw and SmackDown Live. What'd you think of them?
SmackDown had a new set.
So, in other words, you didn't watch.
No, I watched. I didn't notice a damn difference.
That's because you didn't watch when it wasn't live.
So the new SmackDown set was an old tables, ladders, and chairs set without the tables, ladders, and chairs hanging from the side. That's what that set was.
Essentially.
Like 2011, 2012 TLC set, when they had all the chairs hanging, that's the set. Just minus chairs.
Like when you bring something back and call it retro and you just make three changes?
And they made it very, very blue.
It was very blue.
It's supposed to be blue.
But it was even bluer.
Okay, how much more blue could they make it?
Not much, but they succeeded. Like, Raw was redder.
You fail me! Fail me! Tim, softball! Whiff!
I missed the joke, okay? Leave me alone. I'm distracted by shiny things.
Take 1 week off and completely lose the rhythm here.
And then, you know, on Monday Night Raw, it was the old SummerSlam set. Minus this shiny stage.
And Brock Lesnar.
And at the very least, that had, like, the archways that looked good.
Like, yeah.
Like, I could tell the difference between sets on Raw.
Yeah, SmackDown, you just sort of were missing something. Like, you wanted... See, everyone goes back to the Fist. And Fist was awesome, and you could see a totally different set.
The Fist was stupid and ridiculous, and... Yeah, you know, I liked all the broken mirror shards all the way around it. It looked interesting.
To their credit, they did include the Fist in the video intro.
Yeah, it looks like a fucking like Power Ranger finishing move, where it's just this laser fist traveling across the infinity.
Which was a nice little touch they threw in there for the fans who remember that sort of set. But yeah, it just sort of needed something to make it stand out a little more.
It left you thinking there should be something more, but you had absolutely no idea what that something might should be.
Yeah.
Pretty much. At least that's, you know, like, something's missing. What? I have no fucking clue.
And you could just tell they weren't sure what they wanted to do with the sets, so they just found what they had and sort of made do with it. Because they didn't seem to spend new money on the sets, like they have in the past, as we've seen with as the Raw set has evolved over the years.
Well, we do know that the way that the Raw and SmackDown sets evolved was to put up LED boards everywhere so we just don't have to change anything except the colors.
Which makes you wonder, so they brought these new sets in for Raw and SmackDown. Are they going to be the same sets we use, not for like SummerSlam, Rumble, etc., but for the standalone brand-only pay-per-views? Are we going to just get the same SmackDown and Raw set for them?
Well, they'll be SmackDown and Raw themed, but I don't think it'll be those exact sets.
So we'll get something else new, okay.
At least I'm hoping we will.
Or will they bring back the old Raw set, the old Universal set they've been using for the last 3 years, and make that the pay-per-view set?
They've got to change it up every pay-per-view, and don't you keep using the same thing.
But they're in an era of trying to be cost-effective, so, you know, creating new sets all the time is kind of expensive.
Yeah, that's kind of why they did away with it in the first place.
It can cost a bit of money, but...
Which upsets me. I miss the big spiky things on the Backlash set.
The big spiky things.
Yeah, it looked like an alien mothership was just above, because it's these big curved hooks just kind of going in and out.
Yeah, I like that set. That's in the 2K16 game, which is awesome. They don't move, though. It's sadly disappointing.
That's playing on a loop in the back of my brain right now.
But it's... You could say the SmackDown set was very underwhelming. The biggest change, though, was they moved the announcers on Raw.
You know what? I didn't pay that much attention. Where'd they get moved to?
You didn't notice? So they moved them up to the stage. Back when they did in 2002 when Bischoff took over. They move the announcers all the way back to their own perch.
The weird, like, TNN era?
Yeah, the TNN era, yeah. It's sort of, you know, moving them away. It's actually, they did it back in the early 90s for Superstars and stuff like that. They kept them away from ringside.
Should they be away from ringside up on that perch by the stage? Or should stage?
It does mean significantly fewer announcing tables are needed. Like, this one's actually going to stay intact for a while, so we don't have to keep rebuying the damn thing.
I mean, we have like 17 announce tables they use per show these days, especially on pay-per-views. Every language is used.
Every language. Well, you mind, like, there's like this main strip that's like somewhere in the crowd where it's all the other languages?
Yeah, right by where the sound production is.
Yeah. But yeah, it's usually only, it's usually just English and Spanish that are ringside, and then whatever the newest country in the library is.
Usually, like, I think it's German these days.
German's the third one I see the most of.
So, especially on the Big Fours, now it'll be the German, the Spanish, and SmackDown at ringside, and Raw will be up alone. By the stage.
Yeah, it's gonna be...
Just do that to guarantee that the Raw announce table doesn't get splintered.
Yeah. You know, one of these days, we're just going to have that pay-per-view where it's like, there aren't any ring barriers. It's just surrounded by announce tables. It's all different languages, just all around the ring at the same time, and whoever crashes into it, hooray for them. you just play bingo at home with what table gets crashed first.
Oh, Christ, that'd make an interesting drinking game, wouldn't it?
It would. It would. Like, you pick one of them at the beginning of the night. If it's still standing, you win.
And no one ever picked the Spanish table, because that'll be the first one to go. So they moved them up there, and they gave us a new shot they like to do. They like to stand up the announcers at the table for Raw now to, you know, promote, put over a segment or so. So it's different. It's unique.
You know, Go ahead.
I was gonna say, it definitely stands out. It's more of a, it's almost more of a sports thing where you see the play-by-play guys beforehand, just kind of standing up and presenting themselves before they actually get to the booth.
Yep.
It's a different presentation, and that's one of the things that did strike me about the brand split this time, is that they're going for very much a not just a different look, but just different presentation of how they do things. Where SmackDown feels a little bit more traditional, Raw is trying some new things out. Even some of the cinematography, some of the shots they were doing on Raw were not their standard angles. Like, even visually, I did notice that there's a little bit of a change between like what they're actually shooting.
Like the hard camera would move a lot more now.
Yeah.
Swivel around a little bit more. As long as they get rid of that zoom in, zoom out, zoom in, zoom out of the ringside handheld.
We saw a lot less of that on this week.
God, that is the world's most annoying thing. And I'll tell you right now, there are people that suffer from afflictions that can't watch when they do that because it causes seizures and stuff.
Hey, come down, sit down. We're going to watch Blake and Murphy come into the arena.
Oh, God. Actually, only Murphy now. Blake got rid of that part of the intro. And he has very, very, very different music now. Very slow.
But you're talking about like the new announced positions. They also shook up the announced teams.
Thank you, God.
You're happy about that, are you?
This part was like, oh, thank God, JBL's not on Raw anymore. And then, oh, shit, SmackDown's live. I have to watch, and JBL's there now. Fuck.
JBL was a hindrance to SmackDown, I thought. Because he just, they promoted it as this brand new thing, and it's JBL's the voice, and it just sort of felt old.
Yeah, well, JBL's just out of step. Really, he is. I mean, they got rid of Jerry Lawler, put him off into the crowd as the side team, right?
Yeah, the pre-show team.
Yeah.
Well, that's understandable, because he's been there for so long, such a stable voice when you're going for new era. Mm-hmm. You know, I hate to say it, like, I love Jerry, but... You know, and I know he's trying really hard on SmackDown to go, like, heel again and kind of freshen up what he was doing. Good for him. But when you're doing New Era, that's the kind of thing you have to kind of push to the side and go, okay, it's time to give someone else a chance now.
And with Jerry, he's been around long enough, he's seen everything. There's nothing he can bring that he hasn't done before.
No, but you, at least on Raw, you did have JBL where he knew his broadcast partners and was comfortable around them. You know, yeah. I am not upset over seeing the end of the Maggle era.
King Kid just put that in the chat room. R.I.P. hearing Maggle. It had a good run.
Maggle's gone.
Maggle's gone.
Yeah. I'm thrilled that's gone. I'm thrilled I don't have to hear that anymore. But you could definitely tell he's just not in his place with the other announcers, especially because, like, Ronaldo is so damn good. So damn good.
Yeah.
And then you have Screaming Otunga. Who just likes to get really excited and start screaming just because he was told to be more, outspoken as a commentator, and he just screams everything.
Joey Styles in the back. God, tone it down.
Yeah, if Joey Styles is telling you tone it down, you're a little over the top. Just a bit.
Omega, you mentioned how there's all these new changes on Raw. Didn't Shane McMahon say that he was going to bring all these new TV camera angles and all these changes to SmackDown? And SmackDown felt the same old,
SmackDown felt like the more traditional show, which I understand the logic of it. Between having the WWE World Heavyweight Championship there, and having some of the more traditional elements, the announce table beside the ring, the same old camera angles, they're trying to keep a traditional familiar element.
Yeah.
Now the people who are now coming over to SmackDown see the thing they're used to seeing, and there's a comfort in that. Mm-hmm. That they're hoping keeps people around and keeps them, you know, checking out the new face of SmackDown.
Yeah, and you know, the sad fact of life is SmackDown did not have the same number or type of viewers that Raw did. People were watching Raw because it's live and then ignoring SmackDown completely, partly because of the spoilers.
Absolutely.
Don't get me started.
Yeah. It's not just that. It's the fact that you knew everything that happened on Raw was really only going to advance on the next episode of Raw. You knew anything you saw on SmackDown was pretty much just a placeholder. It didn't really have much significance to the storylines that they were going through.
And it created our favorite thing, 50-50 booking.
Oh, God. Welcome to the world where no one is over.
Yeah.
Because you lose on SmackDown, you win on Raw. You lose on Raw, you win on SmackDown.
Everyone just trades wins and losses, and nobody looks good. Nobody looks dominant. Nobody looks over.
Oh, don't forget what BG said. Winning and losing doesn't matter.
Fuck you. Yeah, you know how much the Budokan Mafia lost, dude? It matters. There's a difference between why that was a joke and we still remember New Age Outlaws so well.
Yeah. Budokan Mafia.
Oh, I remember this shit.
I do as well.
It's, yeah.
It's sad. I also remember the roadie.
Oh, jeez, the roadie.
And then the road
alone dog. With his baby tonight.
Alone with his baby tonight. And then, you know, Road Dog and K-Quick, because they're getting rowdy. Oh, you didn't know.
Didn't.
Oh, God, K-Quick. It sounds like a convenience store.
Hey, you want to go get a soda? Yes, hit the K-Quick.
Who in 2016 was trying to catch Pokemon on Monday Night Raw?
Right in the fourth match. Going through the ring. Stupid. Go.
I'm so pissed off. They intentionally broke a part of their game now. I'm like, fuck you. now you have to hunt the fuckers blind now, which, granted, it's R-Truth and Goldust. It's pretty much going to be the same as usual.
Don't expect anything new and innovative from them.
Nah.
No, sir. But overall, did Raw have, like, aside from the new look and the attempts to make it fresher, did it have any kind of a different feeling for you at all?
It had Corey Graves.
So the answer
makes me feel different.
There it is.
Raw set a very high ball. Outside. High and outside. High bar on Monday night. SmackDown sort of set it very, very low.
SmackDown was just disappointing.
It was.
For a live show.
It felt like they still haven't found their legs. Like, oh, right, this is supposed to matter. Okay.
SmackDown felt like, okay, we have to compete with Raw, so we have to name our contender. Okay, so that's going to be the focus of our show. But then you have this entire other roster that you didn't sort of introduce to anyone. If you're going to be a new member, you have American Alpha, who debuts next week on the show. And then you had all the girls come out. Oh, you had all the girls come out. And you sort of didn't allow them to introduce... They got promo time, but they really didn't get themselves over. When you compare it to Raw, and you put Nia Jax on TV, she destroyed someone.
I actually liked seeing jobber matches on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Like, bring in some local talent, let some of your competitors, especially some new ones, get some squash matches in. Because it used to be just seeing somebody perform at a live show was a draw. You didn't always have to book them in some huge, never-before-seen matchup live here on Raw. They could just be a spectacle in and of themselves. Especially when you're dealing with someone like Nia Jax, who is, yes, something of a spectacle visually.
That's one way of putting it.
Whoever the dude was, James Ellsworth or whatever his name was, the dude who fought Braun Strowman, he's taken off on the internet. Like, to the point where on Reddit, he's getting his own AMA on Tuesday.
Well, that's like that guy that was on American Idol. Took off
William Hung.
That's it. What song did he sing?
She bangs.
There you go, she bang. Now, isn't that just absolutely ridiculous? The absolute worst thing you've ever heard on a TV show, that type of TV show. And because he's so bad, he was good. And I forgot his name, but I remembered the guy.
And he became a worldwide phenomenon for about 6 months, thanks to the likes of the Howard Stern show, who kept him on that show more than just 1 week. That's sort of how William Hung became a thing.
And wouldn't let it go. Thanks a lot, Howard.
Yeah, it just wouldn't let it go at all. But yeah, the you compare squash matches, you didn't get that on SmackDown. You just sort of, hi, I'm here, this is who I am, and let's not introduce us totally, like put them over. You would only know Alexa and Carmella if you watched NXT. And if you're a new viewer who did not have the network and did not watch those shows, you didn't know who they were.
And you had no investment in them.
Exactly.
Well, in the case of Raw, you can tell the squash matches are in there to fill that 3 hours until we can get around to that cruiserweight division we're supposed to have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's definitely, you can tell that's going to be the time filler. That's going to be, like, not to denigrate or, you know, offend what the cruiserweights are going to do, because I like the idea of a new cruiserweight division. But you can tell with a 3 hour show and a diminished roster after the split, they need a little bit of a boost in there. They need something to, just to put out matches every week.
Yeah, you get 2 10-minute segments out of the cruiserweights, that's 20 minutes of your show, you're good.
Yeah.
But add entrances and such not that you tie into the cruiserweights, then you've got 30 minutes of 3 hours taken up.
Especially when you add commercials to that, yeah.
Yeah, so at that point, I think you're going to see the jobber matches go away. SmackDown just didn't have the time for it. 2 hours, 2 hours live show, especially the first time they've done a 2 hour live show in a while.
They've got less time to get the same amount of shit in there that is relevant.
Yeah, so I can't blame them for going light. I think it's going to be a while before it really finds its footing.
Yeah. You know, if the cruiserweights wind up being like the WWF cruiserweight division was in the mid-90s, it's going to be a really sad run for Raw.
I don't think you can do something like the Cruiserweight Classic that's putting on some really phenomenal matches and have it like that old light heavyweight division that they were trying to push through.
Well, no, I have to agree with you. I mean, like, going on with CWC. Again, I still haven't watched everything in its entirety, but I've seen bits and pieces and clips. And, yeah, if I did have, like, all of the time to do so, I would get more invested in it as a separate program. I barely got time for Raw and SmackDown as it is. But from what I've seen, I'm waiting for the new division to fire up to see what they offer us every Monday night.
And the difference between the cruiserweight division that they're going to bring up now and the light heavyweight division back then, talent. You're going to have a better source of talent. You had Taka Michinoku and you had, who else did they have? See, that's the problem. You don't remember who else they had.
They had S.A. Rios
and Scott Taylor. Those were the people they had in that division at that point. And it's like, you lacked
the
talent.
They had X-Pac at the end. You don't mention that.
We're not going to talk about X-Pac at the end as the cruiserweight and light heavyweight champion.
But
together.
They were dealing with the X-Factor.
I know they were dealing with the X-Factor, but that was in 2001, and he couldn't even get TV time with 2 titles, which was very, very sad at that point.
That's kind of a negative spoken thing.
I just think we have a better group of talent that'll be available for the cruiserweight segment overall.
And I think they've got the right people in place producing everything so that, you know, shit's going to be all right when it finally shows up.
And you got Corey Graves, who will put them over, unlike JBL, who would probably call them vanilla midgets.
Which is funny in context at the right point in time, but when you're trying to get over something brand spanking new, you know, air quotes, you don't want even your heel to run them down.
No. Like, again, like, talk, you know, ad nauseum about just what we think, like JBL as this, a heel in the cheapest way, which is just to be insulting, you know, whereas he's not like, you know, because I still remember the Heenan style of play-by-play for a heel. It's like, okay, bring the face down because he wasn't cheating. You know, whatever the heel does, you know, okay, kind of go with it.
Well, that's just it. Heenan was a genius at that.
and then there's JBL.
And then you've got JBL. And yeah, he's just a lazy heel, which is basically, boiling it down. That's what you're calling him. And I'm agreeing 100% completely and fully. So.
Who'd have thought the guy throwing Nazi salutes in Germany was a cheap and lazy heel?
I remember writing when he did that, I was so pissed off. I wrote a column that was posted on about 50 different pro wrestling websites calling them out for that.
One of the standouts, though, from SmackDown, given the opportunity, was Heath Slater. the dude is never going to be a star. He's never going to be a main eventer. But he at least has the ability for a couple minutes to at least get himself over, because he did on SmackDown.
He can be an entertaining segment in and of himself. Like, he does have at least that much entertainment value going for him. Like, he's never going to go for a world title.
No.
But he's going to entertain you while he's out there.
He's got good comedy. He's got good comedy ability.
He's good comedic timing.
That's another way of saying it, yeah.
Yeah, and doing so, it allowed us to get the WWE main roster return for the second time this year of Rhino.
Yep, that was like, oh shit, it's Rhino, cool! That was my reaction.
So Rhino's back?
Is he back to stay?
Yes, he's back to stay.
That's all that matters to me.
And so is Shelton Benjamin, he's coming soon.
Yeah, can you believe that? Shelton Benjamin's returning?
He's like 41 now.
Get out of here, really?
That's what I heard. I'll Google it. That's what
I heard.
It's what I heard. So I Google.
I'm having a hard time believing Jinder Mahal will become that. And
don't jump ahead of us. We're still confirming how old Shelton Benjamin is.
Google says 41.
Well, there you go. Google says 41.
I guess he doesn't have to bleach the top of his head anymore.
He just turned 41 back on July 9th. So, there you go. Shelton's back. At least they added someone to the roster, because that SmackDown roster was... It's sad we were talking about what happened on SmackDown on CB Radio last night, and I had the hardest time trying to figure out who the sixth person in the main event was, which was Baron Corbin. Like, I got the first five, and it's like, who is this other one? I just watched it, because when we were playing cards, it's like, it was on in the background. It's like, but who was it? Oh, right, Baron Corbin. That's how forgettable Baron Corbin is.
Yeah.
How sad is that, since he's come? Seriously. He's just not getting himself over with this gimmick.
He was just brought up too early. They didn't give him enough chance to find himself before actually bringing him up to the roster.
They brought him because he's a big some bitch. That's it.
I think they brought him up just because they were bored of him in NXT. Because, well, it really does get to that point where it's like they did the same thing with Adam Rose. It's like, okay, well, the Leo Kruger thing, we're really not into it anymore. Let's try this one thing, and if this doesn't work, then I don't know what we have for him anymore.
Well, maybe we can accuse him of using banned substances and get him to get all upset about it and fire him.
Well, that comes later.
There you go.
So that's Shelton and Rhino, and you mentioned a name, Tim. Who'd you mention?
I mentioned Jinder Mahal, my buddy Tiger Raj Singh. I can neither confirm nor deny at this point in time that he actually is coming back, because I was told to keep my mouth shut.
Since it's on news sites, Tim, that he has signed a contract.
Yeah,
he's coming back. Probably to
why
to Monday Night Raw?
Because there was a rumor that Great Khali was missing him.
Well, then why isn't he in India?
Don't know.
Fucking why?
So, fucking guy's never been to India. Christ, he was born in Northeast Calgary.
Tim, and don't put out the rumor that Great Khali is now returning to WWE as well to team up with Jinder Mahal.
No, he's not coming back to WWE. That was not my intention.
You did put that out in the universe now, though.
Well, people will believe shit whether or not you tell them it's a lie. If they want to believe it, they're going to believe it. Like, all of these fools who think that people actually walked on the moon. You know that's a fake, right? It was all put together by Stanley Kubrick.
So, Curt Hawkins is also rumored to be coming back as well. Conspiracies is in the second segment, Tim. You're jumping ahead.
Yeah, that's a different conspiracy.
So, Curt Hawkins.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The less successful of the Edgeheads.
Uh-huh.
Yep. The least successful of the Edgeheads.
And Jinder Mahal.
Uh-huh.
Coming to WWE main event near you.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, you know, to be fair, Jinder Mahal is actually a lot more talented and better in the ring than he was allowed to be when he was there his first time around.
But that
and
doesn't...
the only reason that they signed him first time around is because he could speak Punjabi. And they could do a program with the Great Khali, because they used Jinder Mahal to try to get Khali over. Because, let's face it, the Punjabi prison match did bupkis.
Because it's so hard to get a 7-foot guy over.
Especially when he can barely walk to the ring.
But maybe they shouldn't have signed him in the first place.
But it's Vince. He's big. Vince-like.
Just like he likes, like that's why he likes Braun Strowman.
The big son of a bitch. Let's sign him.
Who's now going to probably be shirtless on Raw? Be ready, folks. Be ready. King Kim brings up perhaps because they realize the wrestlers are so very thin. Yep, they are thin.
They are. You know, there are other rumors out there, but you've only listed four of them here, and one of them I can believe. The other one I'm hoping not, and the other two, I just say no fucking chance, no way.
Okay, which ones are which?
Tommy Dreamer, because he's doing stuff with WWE behind the scenes, so why not put him in front of the camera once in a while?
It would all depend on what he's doing with House of Hardcore. I think that's the only hold up on Tommy.
Well, yeah, well, House of Hardcore, that's his baby, so that's all fine and dandy. Other people have worked for WWE and run their own shows at the same time.
Oh, I know, I'm just saying they probably have to work out the details of his schedule before he comes back.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's the problem.
Not to mention, Tommy's got some years on him. He's got hardcore years on him. So,
yeah,
you start to wonder, like, he's not going to be a guy you bring back for a 300-day schedule.
No. You see Tommy, like, maybe twice a month tops. Absolute tops. And only one of those appearances is he in the ring doing anything.
All right, so what else, Tim? Who else on the list?
Tommy Dreamer, I'm like, yeah, okay. MVP? I'm like, yeah, I just don't see it. Carlito, there's a lot of heat still there between him and you know who.
But he could be the greatest shining star of them all.
Eh. I mean, don't get me wrong, Carlito is a lot of fun. And, you know, a couple years ago, I did work with him here in Calgary at one of the wrestling promotions. But, just, you know, and he was just not really talkative about WWE. Didn't want to talk about it. Did not want to touch that subject. It was a sore spot to him.
Money talks.
Yeah, but let's not forget the Hall of Fame induction where he appeared.
Yeah, that.
He went off on his own script there, and it was like, I don't give a fuck, I'm saying what I want to say. Which is what he did.
Yes, he did.
And then the one on there that I'm like, oh god, I hope not. And I don't know why, Melina.
Yeah, that one surprised me.
Yeah.
Reading that name, I was like, really, Melina? She's been out of that spotlight for 5 years, 6 years?
What has she done since leaving Raw? Or WWE, rather.
John Morrison.
No, I said what, not who.
That's the best answer I got.
Speaking about Johnny Morrison, that is one that is not on there that I don't know if you've heard or not, but that's an official, unofficial rumor that he's coming back.
The problem is with him, he's under a Lucha Underground contract. While he's not under the full 7-year contract, it's in their contract that cannot appear on television, another television program, while Lucha Underground's on the air. So the third season of Lucha Underground starts in September, and that's 40 episodes long, so that's another 40 weeks. I don't know if he can appear on WWE programming and Lucha Underground.
What did you say a little earlier when we were talking about Carlito?
Money talks. I get that.
Exactly right. And if Vince really wants him back, Vince will make it happen. I'd love to see Johnny Morrison come back, WWE. I don't think he was given a fair shake. And I'm sure you guys would agree that he's a lot of talent that you just let get away from you.
Out of the names that I've seen rumored as possible returns, he's probably the one I want back the most.
Yeah.
He really did not get a fair shakedown the first time. He was phenomenally talented. I would really like to see him come back and actually accomplish something.
Yeah.
Like, he's a name you can bring back and you wouldn't mind him getting put over some of the current stars.
Yeah. Well, you know, and then you hear about all of these wrestlers who, you know, maybe they're baby faces, but you meet them in real life and they're real dicks. When Heart Legacy Wrestling had their show here, I hung out with John. And, he's just a genuine, just a great guy. Always has a smile on his face. He just cheers you up just chatting with him because he's just he's so up and he's so, you know, like he might as well be Canadian. He's so goddamn polite.
Nice.
Sorry.
There's that politeness right there. Yeah, Morrison is the only one out of the list I've seen out there that's worth it. I've seen MVP come back in TNA. He wasn't all that impressive in TNA. It just wasn't. He got older really fast. His knees have, you know, caught up with him. And I don't think him trying to work a WWE style on a WWE schedule would be good for him. Molina's just strange.
Yeah.
In more ways than one. If you actually see her on Twitter, she's a little out there.
Yeah, and if Molina comes back, you know, we won't see Batista ever, ever, ever again anywhere near WWE. Wait a minute.
I'm pretty much sure that's a thing anyway.
That's a thing anyway, yeah. Well, listen, hey, if you decide to take acting lessons because you're in the James Bond movie, then you're done with WWE.
Roman Reigns took acting lessons.
Didn't help.
No, it didn't. Roman Reigns didn't also star in a Marvel movie that made hundreds of millions of dollars.
In a sleeper hit, and I can't wait till the sequel.
Sequel's going to be good. He'll probably be in Avengers 3.
Yeah, most of the Guardians, or at least half the Guardians, will probably wind up in Avengers 3.
Well, you're dealing with Thanos, who typically doesn't like to come to Earth, so you kind of have to go to him. So they need a spaceship.
And who's got one? Hey, Star-Lord. So that works. All of a sudden we're talking Marvel. It was just a coincidence that we played the Avengers theme for the intro tonight, everybody. That being said, we've been talking for, well, geez, a long time. So why don't we take our first break of the night, okay? Everybody, you're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget, you can listen to us on the TuneIn app on your mobile device, no matter where you are. Download it, put it on your mobile device, search Wild Talk Radio Network, and join us every Sunday. Every Sunday. Yeah, we'll be back right after this.
Temporarily possessed.
Nothing more, nothing less. Want to be known, want the respect. Throw me anything, I'll pass that test. Believing in yourself, man, changes everything. Yeah, I want it all, I'm taking the brass ring. Call me underdog, you can call me anything. I got a lot of blessings, that's what faith brings. You can't rob a man, no stop it. You can't rob a man, no stop it. You can't rob a man, good drop it.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gangbang or something.
Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs fans. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird. Wow. Comes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? I thought the people are going to be showing at the party. Where are you, Gundam Style, over here?
That's a horse you have, that's a horse
you have.
Not the pelvic thrust. That Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't know.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's gonna be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now you gotta play something else, Rock. I'm gonna wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Hey, Margarita!
I hated that song, Rock. I think you just replaced the song in my head with a worse song. Now I'm watching some Hispanic dude do it in my head. Oh, now it's being cross-referenced with the guy, the Asian dude. Oh, they're having a mess.
Macarena.
Macarena style.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
It has returned.
I am looking for Sarah Khan. Oh God, wrong house.
This is so not safe.
WTR Riffs presents the final deletion.
Oh my God, there's like an army of drones.
Ah.
Oh dear God.
That's not the kind of riding you're supposed to do on a lawnmower.
Jeff, no.
Okay, I'm starting to think that these guys have more money than sense.
What am I looking at?
Jeffrey Nero, what are you doing?
Oh, this is a bad idea. This is a really bad idea.
Why do you always try to kill your brother with fireworks?
Available now at wildtalkradio.com.
Thank God, it's over.
Wild Talk Radio. The network everyone else steals from.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw with me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28. But I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh! Oh.
Bo! Please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Back to the Earth tonight, Russell Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't still have time to vote for the all-time greatest. Just go to WrestleTalkRadio.com, and all you got to do is just click on where it says "Click here to vote," and then you can vote. Simple as that. And tonight, more than ever, your vote counts. Isn't that right, Rod?
Yes, it does.
So, yeah,
Because tonight we crown it. You get the vote for help us vote for the final two, and then we'll just decide on the final two.
There you go. Yeah. So make sure you get your votes in because that's a very important thing to do.
I mean, as we saw a couple weeks ago, you know, things could end in a tie, and your vote does count.
So, vote.
Vote, vote, vote. RussellTalkRadio.com.
Yeah, I don't know what else to add.
Just vote for everything that you think Tim would vote against, because then you'd be right.
Well, no, because you'd be totally wrong, but just, like, go over there and vote, and you know, it would be a smart thing to vote the smart way. Don't vote dumb.
Anyway.
Jackass.
Hey, that's what happens when you throw it to me, you know.
Yeah, there you go. Getting back into it, sticking with the new WWE Raw, he said, using air quotes. Naturally, Stephanie announces there's going to be a new heavyweight title exclusive to Raw, the WWE Universal Heavyweight Championship.
I don't know if they added a heavyweight part to it.
Oh, it's just the Universal title? Now, I can understand that they want somebody to, you know, challenge for the belts, but I liked what we were talking about. Fewer belts means that you could make the rosters interactive at least and still maintain the brand split, and it would make the combined pay-per-views that much more appealing. I'm not so sure I'm down with adding a whole bunch more belts, Omega.
Well, so far, to what we know, they're only adding a new, you know, world level championship.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds like something like a cartoon wrestler would have.
Yeah.
Or like the backyard wrestling group that wants to be, well, our title is better than a world title. It's a universal title.
It kind of reminds me how Harley Race got his nickname, King Harley Race.
But it's one of those things where I know, especially when you're planning to run separate pay-per-views for both brands need some top title for them to continuously focus on. And when someone's off doing that over on, when we got a champion off doing that on Raw, that really does kind of complicate what they do on the other show because, well, the best we can do, like, Intercontinental title, or at best we can decide number one contender, but no one wants to see that. They want to see people compete for the big title belts.
Now, the question is, with the second belt, because the first time they did the brand split with the two separate belts, it just felt watered down. Is this going to be the same feeling, or did it feel watered down to you the first go-around?
The first go-around felt watered down because they literally just brought back the WCW championship belt and handed it to Triple H.
Yeah.
Like, right from the get-go, you have immediately made that title worthless because it's just handed to some guy. You know, it has no meaning, it has no impact or value, it's just, well, you're champion now.
So this time around, you feel that, you know, it's going to mean something because they're going to be fighting for it.
Yeah, because they're actually going to go through a process to earn it. And the fact that it's a brand new championship belt, which starts its lineage on Raw and thus on Raw's first pay-per-view, that all works out a little bit better than just, oh, hey, here's this old belt we dug out of mothballs.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with Omega on that one. It's like, not too sold on the name, but I like the idea that they're creating a fresh championship if they were going to bring a new title into the mix. I don't want to see multiple universal championships like the Women's Universal Championship.
Yeah.
No, we don't need that.
Or so all the other titles, just leave them single and set it up so that both brands could actually compete for them four times a year.
Not even that. Have it be every month. Just let them float around. I was never like the idea of four times a year. It was a little too much, but.
Well, I think I brought that up a number of months ago when I first brought up the rumor that there was going to be a brand split. Let the champions float around brand to brand.
Right, and everyone sort of has been in agreement on that one, sort of have the champions float. I don't like the idea of just four times a year you defend those titles because everyone's already clamoring for tag team title matches now. Everyone's talking about how, oh, look, the New Day didn't defend it in 30 days, they should be stripped and stuff like that already. So people are already talking about that. And you go back to Raw, it made it feel important the fact that it's a universal championship, because you had 8 people trying to fight for a shot to face Seth Rollins for it.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did on SmackDown was a 6-pack challenge for the world title, which Dolph Ziggler ended up winning. That shocked a lot of people.
Surprised the hell out of me.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere.
And on Raw, you had 8 people fighting for it, brought it boiled down to Roman Reigns and Finn Balor, and you made a star in one night by having Finn Balor go over Roman Reigns clean in the ring.
Now, that was a bit of a surprise to a lot of people. I'm pretty sure they were all expecting, oh, God, it's going to be Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins. Okay, yay, but as long as they don't give the title to Roman Reigns, then I can deal with it. The fact that Finn Balor went over, I think, what you and I talked about at Monday Night Rock on Skype during the show, that was the smartest thing they've done.
Yeah, it was. It was very smart.
Well, it's a smart decision, but ultimately, like, I don't think I was surprised that Finn got to that match in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Does not surprise me that Finn won the match to begin with, because, hey, number one, it's going to be a hell of a match that we haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you going to do? Like, the guy who just came back from the wellness policy violation, you're going to put him right back in the title picture?
That would just kind of sort of scream something to you, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it undercut the entirety, like the entire point of, you know, your wellness system and the punishments involved.
And
oh, well, you get 30 days off and then you get a world title as soon as you come back.
But you know he's not being punished, right? You know, Roman Reigns is being punished as a character right now. He's not winning matches, he's being punished. He lost 2 or 3 matches in 1 week. That's punishment. You know, that's crazy. Calling punishment on that one.
Yeah, well, they're not up in arms about it.
Because they, you know, they want Roman in the title picture now, but he's being taken out of it, so he's being punished.
So. And the
It kind of is. Every internal report says that this was not the original plan, except, oh, he got busted, so new plan.
Yeah, but it's just people clamoring for him to be back in the title picture when they were all clamoring for him to be out of it. Yay, interwebs.
Yeah, you just can't win in that situation, can you?
You can't win.
All we want is what we don't have.
Yay!
And we don't want the things we do have.
Go Team Roman. Screw Team Roman. Yay!
Go screw Team Roman. Wait a minute. It's confusing. But what can you do? Fans nowadays are the most fickle SOBs, more than they have ever been in history.
But going back to Finn Balor, they made him a star, and we all kind of knew he had the potential. But in one night, they were able to establish him as a new presence on Raw, which is something they did not do with any characters on SmackDown. So that, going back to our first segment, was the difference between Raw and SmackDown. You were able to establish someone new as a star of the brand, while SmackDown sort of seemed like nothing really happened, which is great for Finn Balor.
Yeah, and having Finn face Seth, you see, I'm not a big fan of the fact that by default, Seth Rollins is the number one contender. I can understand, but at the same time, I don't automatically give it to him. You want to make him the number one contender, fine, but at least give us the illusion that he had to earn it.
Yeah, but it's back to the whole authority thing and Stephanie, you know, loving Seth Rollins. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be the chosen one. So that's sort of probably the story we're going to be telling there.
Yeah, well,
there's that, but you do kind of wish there was just a little bit more justification than, well, he didn't get pinned. He didn't get pinned in the triple threat main event.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he still didn't win it. Still lost.
Well, what can you do? Like I say, I'm not a fan that he wasn't made to earn it, at least giving the fans the illusion that he was made to earn it.
That said,
let me finish my thought here before you interrupt. I'm really looking forward to Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, that's going to be a hell of a match.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure that these two can really pull off something highly entertaining.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
And I'm expecting 3 matches out of these two for the title. In total.
At least I can get at least 2. Maybe get the 3.
3 maybe just because it's a good way of having a nice smooth feud for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Without, while we're still kind of feeling out this new era of Raw and SmackDown, they're going to need a little bit of time to work into it, like which we've seen on SmackDown. They're not quite there yet because we kind of have to feel out this whole 2-hour live thing first. So I could expect both shows to push some new stuff, but still keep it relatively slow, safe until they figure out just what they can do with what they have now.
Which will be good if they're able to pull it off and make both shows successful. Raw last Monday night was very entertaining from top to bottom overall. I mean, when you've got a 3-hour program that you have to fill, you're going to have down moments. And there was a little bit of downtime, but overall, Raw was quite good last week.
Mm-hmm.
Are they able to keep it up? Are they going to be able to keep it up?
Well, big question.
It is a big question, and one of the reasons Raw was so good was we had a new champion crowned on the show, and it was Charlotte and Sasha. Those two women, whew.
That was a main event match, and the thing that I loved was the announce team actually put him over as a main event match. They said, hey, we just saw the main event of the night, everybody, and we're not done yet.
Oh, yeah. And you could tell, like, okay, new era women's match here. They threw everything they had.
Yep.
They held nothing back. They were out to prove something very, very big.
And one of the things me and Tim talked about last week on the show in regards to Becky and Natty, who, by the way, had a better match on SmackDown than they did at the pay-per-view, just because they were given a little bit more time. When you give the girls time...
We talked about that last week after the pay-per-view.
Yeah. When you give the girls time, they can deliver. You gave these girls, just for the match itself, 17 minutes. You had... When Sasha won the belt, you didn't just go right to commercial. You let the moment sink in. You let her talk about her big moment. And it felt like a huge deal. And when you do that, it makes for awesome television. You can't do that every week. Do title changes, but...
In this instance, it was the right thing to do. Charlotte, first off, she held the belt long enough. That's all fine to Dan. Secondly, she did not defend it at Battleground. She had to defend it at some point in time. Why not the first night of the full-out Raw-only brand split show?
Yeah, and while you can't do a title match every week, but you can give the girls time every week to put on a match at that caliber. Make it, you know, the one good thing, Omega, we like about NXT when it comes to women, especially on the takeover shows, they give us competitive matches.
Yeah.
And that's what I think people want to see from this division is make it competitive.
Well, we've spent so long having women's feuds that were the most shallow they could be and just the most basic of matches where it really just felt like they were paraded out just to give them a break from watching the guys wrestle. Mm-hmm. Or there really wasn't a whole point to the Divas division. It was just a spectacle. Like, I hate to even phrase it that way, but it was almost like carnival sideshow stuff.
Well,
it's like, you're there for the Ferris wheel and you're there for the games. And if you want, here's this other thing to look at for a little bit. It doesn't really fit into anything we do, and it's inconsequential, but you can. It's there.
Yeah. Do you want to take a break from riding the Ferris wheel? Do you want to take a break from one of those things? Come see the two-headed midget, and then go back to it.
Back at Comic-Con, Becky Lynch had the following statement. If she was asked if she could change one thing about the women's division, she said she would hope that people would stop attacking her, but also that women would stop being catty. We shouldn't start secretly attacking each other. It should be about the title. Be more consistent with the storylines at the same time. Give it more time. And it wasn't a Divas Revolution. It was a guerrilla warfare in NXT. We just need equal opportunity. Don't make a big deal about it. We should just be like the lads. She's on point with that.
She's exactly right.
Yeah, there's no rational argument against what she just said. Well, not Jeff said, but against what she said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you listen to the reaction these girls are getting. There's absolutely no reason. There is no reason to treat them any differently.
And if you go back a couple of years right here on WTR, we would be bitching and moaning that something good was starting to happen with the women in WWE, and then they'd screw it up. And for the longest time, we've been waiting for them to screw this up again. And so far, they really haven't.
They haven't screwed it up yet.
They finally got finally serious about it.
Yeah, they finally got serious about it. They haven't screwed it up, but they haven't pushed it like they should.
They haven't given the women the chance they deserve to be performers and competitors as opposed to female performers and female competitors.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree with that.
I think that's the best way I could put it.
It is the best way to put it in that manner. Because then on SmackDown, we have the glorious Eva Marie intro.
Yeah, my reaction to.
But at SummerSlam, the rematch will happen. Sasha Banks, Charlotte for the Women's Championship.
And that is one match that I definitely will be glued to the TV for. Just given what we were treated to last Monday night.
They took chances, almost hurt themselves. Yeah, we should be in store for a lot more come SummerSlam. Again, keyword, if given the time.
Well, was it the title match on Monday night where Sasha dove through the ropes and landed on her chin?
Yeah, that was.
Was so reminiscent of how Lita fucked up her neck. The only difference was Lita ran into the barrier because she did it off to the side where the barrier was.
Yeah, and then Charlotte did the moonsault, which was hell of impressive. Yeah, so we'll see what happens when they tangle again at SummerSlam.
Now, here's a situation that we've been talking about. Just a couple years ago, we were talking about, God, we want this to happen. It's finally here. Or at least it feels like it's finally here. Instead of grumbling about how good a woman's match should be, I'm champing at the bit for this rematch at SummerSlam. I'm jonesing for it already.
And that's a good thing.
That's a damn good thing. What did I tell you about me yelling at the TV Monday night?
I don't remember exactly what you said, but you were yelling at the TV.
I don't yell at the TV for wrestling. I'll yell, you know, when I'm watching football or hockey or whatever. I have a tendency to yell at the players. I'm your typical sports fan. But having done what I have done with professional wrestling, I watch it and I critique it. And I look for the booking and the improv versus them being told the spots that they need to get in. And I'm watching it that way. But this match, I was watching it like I was watching the Super Bowl. And I'm yelling at the TV. I'm yelling at these girls. And yeah, I yelled when Sasha won the title because I didn't expect it to happen. So I'm just really happy that we finally got that kind of a match last Monday night.
Mm-hmm. It's just a nice thing to see, especially on Raw, especially in the new era where they genuinely do seem like they are treating the division like it is a serious thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this can be just as competitive and interesting as the men's division. And yeah, I do feel like Sasha, Charlotte, Bailey, Becky to a lesser extent, God, they need to use her so much better than they do.
Well, you know, Rock brought it up, pay-per-view, they just didn't give him any opportunity to do anything, but Thursday night they gave him some time. And it was a way better match on SmackDown than it was at Battleground. And I'm just worried that they're going to force it too much on SmackDown Live, as opposed to letting it feel organic, like, the majority of men's matches, for one thing.
We will see.
And, I think the best thing for Becky Lynch is to have this program with Natty that they put her in. Because, let's face it, Natty basically made Charlotte. She can make Becky, too. If Becky has that talent, that is.
And Becky does have that talent.
Yeah. So I think that Natty can do for Becky what she did for Charlotte. And no title will be needed.
hopefully that's the case, and we'll see what happens every Tuesday on SmackDown Live.
Yeah, and hope that the ratings will reflect, but the show has to show, so it's live, big deal. It still has to be good.
Has to be good, has to be entertaining, it has to be must-see, and if it's must-see, people will tune in and they'll watch it live.
Yeah, so here's fingers crossed that it winds up having good booking. That's the most important thing, is to have good booking. Your second most important thing is to have the talent to pull off the booking.
But what if that talent goes off script, Tim?
Well, here's the thing. You watch some really good TV shows, like Scrubs is a good example. You watch some really good movies. And they do more than one take of a certain scene, because after one scene is filmed, the actors, if they have it in them, will say, "Hey, can I try something? Can we do this again? I've got an idea." One example that springs to mind in a movie, and sorry to sound like a geek, but it was Star Trek 2009. Leonard Nimoy, at the very end of the movie, spoiler alert, from 2009, very end of the movie, when James Kirk is promoted to captain of the Enterprise, answering to Admiral Pike, the camera floats up, and then there's Spock Prime looking down. They filmed that, and then Leonard Nimoy says, "Can we redo this? I got an idea." So they did it all over again. The camera floats up and lands on Leonard Nimoy, and Leonard Nimoy, what did he say? Thrusters at full. Just that one little thing made that scene 10 times better. So, in answer to your question, and to make a short answer a long one, if your talent has that talent and they can go off script and provide something that is more entertaining and better than you were scripting out, by all means, do it. How's that for an answer?
Not even, I don't know if that was anywhere where I was trying to go with that one, but.
But okay. Well, you asked me, what if the talent goes off script?
What if they went off script and they, you know?
It's kind of called a segue, Tim.
Yeah, I was trying to do a segue, but you know, he took it left. I was trying to go right. You know how that goes.
Exactly where you're going. You're just full of conspiracy theories, aren't you, Rock?
I'm just gonna play the clip now since he totally blew it. Here we go.
You have to be willing to just do it. You have to have the balls to just seize the moment and say, "I may get fired for doing this, but if I do it, and I do it right, it will be so spectacular that they can't fire me because I'm the one that has everybody's attention now. And since I'm the one that has everybody's attention, they, as business people, will exploit me to their fullest and make me a bigger star in the process. As for The Undertaker, the creative process behind it." You know, here's something funny. Even Vince McMahon was asked this question by Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Vince gave kind of, "It's time to give back to the industry, and when it's time to give back to the industry, you give back to the industry, like Andre the Giant gave to Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 3. In other words, Vince didn't really answer the question. There's only a very select people that understand what happened that night. The referee's not one of them. The music guy is not one of them. Vince McMahon is one of them. The Undertaker collapsed behind the curtain, was taken to the hospital. Vince McMahon left WrestleMania before Daniel Bryan was crowned champion, because The Undertaker was taken out in an ambulance, and we didn't know how bad of a situation we were facing. Undertaker knows what happened that night. I know what happened that night. Brock Lesnar knows what happened that night. Now, here's the funny question. If so few people know, why would we ever open up the secret of what happened? So let me plant a little doubt in your minds where you sit there and say, is Heyman telling us something we're not supposed to know, or is he just fucking with our heads? So let me ask you this. How do you know it was a creative process? How do you know that was supposed to happen? How do you know? You may think you know, but do you know you know? What would have happened at WrestleMania 30 if Brock Lesnar said, fuck it, I'm taking it on him. I'm going to dump him on his head. I'm going to knock him out. Then I'm going to F5 him. I'm going to hook his leg. And I'm going to pin him for real. And nobody's going to be able to fire me. Because once I beat that streak, how could they fire me? So let's say that was Brock Lesnar's mindset that night. Let's say Brock Lesnar said, I don't want to lose. I'm going to win. And they can't do anything about it because they can't fire me if I just beat the streak because I'm the guy everybody's going to talk about. Do you think he can't do it? Do you think The Undertaker would be able to stop Brock Lesnar from taking that victory? Could anybody in WWE stop Brock Lesnar from taking that victory? And what if that's what happened? What would the reaction be? Wouldn't the reaction be exactly what it was? That The Undertaker needed a year just to get his head back into the game? Because he wasn't that badly injured. He went home the next day. He was hurt. He was hospitalized. But he went home the next day. He didn't need a year off. But he took it. Why? Yeah. This is like the Kennedy assassination. There's a lot of conspiracy theories. But the one that I'm offering has never been offered in public before. So I'll say it for the fourth time of the evening. Brock Lesnar does what Brock Lesnar wants to do. And what if on that night, in front of the whole world, live, on the first WrestleMania offered on the network, what if Brock Lesnar decided, I'm going to do what I want to do? What if he really did conquer the streak? What I love most about working with Brock Lesnar is that if I presented this to you about anybody else on that roster, you'd point at me and go, bullshit. But the fact that I presented to you about Brock Lesnar, I guarantee you at least half of you will go home tonight saying, did he just fucking tell us something that we're not supposed to know? Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. But it's certainly worthy of a conspiracy theory, isn't it?
Very worthy of talking about, isn't it, Tim?
Well, you know, I said that to you, Rock, after I watched that, and I'm going to actually utter it audibly. Paul Heyman just did the one thing any promoter should do in this day and age where there is no more kayfabe. Where you know shit's scripted up. You know that that person who won was scripted to win. And he did it with such aplomb that, yeah, half the people listening either live or on the downloads the rest of the week are going to stop and they are going to think, just like Paul Heyman, is he fucking with us or did he just tell us something we weren't supposed to know?
He is completely fucking with us.
Oh, he is.
But it's a very plausible one.
Yeah. It's plausible, yes, but you can extrapolate what we know of Brock Lesnar and what we heard of that story and go, no, that's not what happened. Because we know Brock Lesnar doesn't give a shit about things like streaks. He doesn't care about wins and losses in professional wrestling. He cares about the dollar sign. If the dollar sign tells him he's going to get pinned, he's going to get pinned.
Oh, absolutely. The point being, Heyman did it perfectly. He did it right.
And then you go to the actual realistic side of it going, well, this guy, say you're the booker, Tim, and this guy just totally screwed up your booking plan.
Mm-hmm.
How can you trust him ever to go back in the ring?
Here's the thing. Yeah, there is that, but at the same time, Heyman just said, you can't because look what he just did and look how over that is with the crowd.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar is a big enough name. If he had done something like that, he probably could have gotten away with it.
On the other hand,
he's a money.
How much time does that really give him? Because really, once The Undertaker came back the next WrestleMania and was right back to winning matches, you really didn't hear of it anymore.
No.
It's, you know, it's another one of Lesnar's footnotes, but he's had more since then. You know, crushing John Cena like a styrofoam cup. That's a little bit bigger.
That was a huge deal. A squash match is what that was.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a bigger deal than beating the streak, but it's the most recent thing that was more impactful in your mind. It's something that came afterwards that was just, holy fuck.
Oh, yeah. No, exactly. Everything that Heyman just planted in the back of the average person's mind is bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
But there are people out there, after hearing that when they were live listening to Heyman talk, people who have watched it on YouTube, and there will be people who listen to the program, like I said, either live or through all the downloads that we have throughout the week. It's going to be that little seed in the back of his mind. It's like, you know, like you said, Kennedy assassination. Was there somebody in the grassy knoll? Or was Lee Harvey Oswald the only shooter? Was it a magic bullet? Or did it deflect off a couple of bones inside the body? Right?
Which leads to this question. What is the biggest conspiracy in wrestling?
Who drove the Hummer?
Who drove the Hummer?
Are you really asking what the biggest conspiracy of wrestling really is? There's only one real conspiracy in wrestling.
And what's that?
That was the Montreal Screwjob.
Back to Montreal.
A lot of shit goes back to Montreal. Listen, by its very definition, a conspiracy is just a theory of something that maybe could have taken place, but isn't real, isn't true. Now, that me having said that, and then you having said what you said, Omega, what is the biggest conspiracy in wrestling?
See, I'm trying to think of something else.
Other than the Montreal Screwjob, because it's the only one.
If you want other conspiracies, Hogan during the steroid trial.
That's a good one.
Everyone thought Vince was fucked. Everyone expected, like, even prosecutors and everyone knew this, one testimony is all this is going to take, and then they didn't get it. Whether there were no steroids in wrestling in the 80s, or Hogan was bullshitting so he could keep making a paycheck.
Gee, I wonder which is the truth.
Well, you are accusing Hulk Hogan of committing perjury.
Mm-hmm. Hulk Hogan showed up on The Tonight Show with a picture of some 6'4" tall 16-year-old kid on a baseball team saying that was him. And so he was always a naturally big kid.
The point is, like, you want to talk conspiracy theory, if that hadn't happened, there would be no WWE. Mm-hmm. That would have shut down pretty much everything in professional wrestling.
Yeah.
So with that put out in the universe, I say next week, Tim, we talk more about those conspiracies.
We're going to have Jesse Ventura on?
We could.
That's a good idea, McMahon. No.
I don't think it is, but I'm just floating it.
There you go.
Watching it sink.
Why don't we just see if we can come up with our very own conspiracy? We got a whole week to do so. There's your homework.
Homework, everybody. Homework. Wrestling conspiracies. That's your homework. Next week on the show.
And if you have a hard time coming up with a conspiracy, blame Rockets for his idea.
Yep. Blame me, because everyone else does. But on that note, I say we take our second and final break of the evening.
Yeah, we might as well. Hey, everybody, listen to WTR Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. During the break, go to RustTalkRadio.com and vote if you haven't voted yet. We'll be back right after this.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin, as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Don't worry about changing that dial, because you're already tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This August, relive the best matches in SummerSlam history in video game form. Subscribe now to youtube.com/trackradioshow to witness 21 days of SummerSlam history in video game form.
John Cena has held the WWE title 11 times. Daniel Bryan has never held the gold. And the question is, for Daniel Bryan tonight, will he become the next John Cena? Will he become the next Rock? Or will he become the first Daniel Bryan?
Don't miss it this August only at youtube.com/trackradioshow.
Spaceman, oh spaceman, come rescue me from this calling. Hallelujah, come rescue me.
Hey everybody, this is Biff Naked. Hang loose, hang ten, high five, go get 'em, fight the good fight. You're listening to WTR with Biff Naked.
Welcome back to WTR Sunday night, everybody. Or talk to you. Just basically shoot the shit for the evening, more or less. Coming back, of course, to Kurt Angle's WWE ring entrance music. There's a reason for that. 20 years ago this past week, Kurt Angle won the Olympic gold medal. Omega.
Yes, yes, broken freaking neck. I remember.
With a broken freaking neck. Freaking? Freaking? Freaking?
Freaking.
Freaking. Mm-hmm. Frick. Double frick. Frickity frick. Frick frick. Anyway, yeah. That was, Summer Olympics in Atlanta, wasn't it?
It was.
1996.
As you had to think, what is 20 years ago?
Yeah, I remember that.
20 years ago he won with a broken freaking neck. And now the question remains, what was his biggest impact in wrestling, Omega?
Kissing Brock Lesnar. Other than that?
Other than that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
To be honest, if anyone else did that today, they'd be murdered.
Yeah.
So, historically, there's significance. No, now Kurt was one of those guys that was handled strange for a long time. He got the belt way earlier than I think a lot of people would have liked to see him hold on to it, but he did develop. Like, I remember feuds with, like, well, not feuds, but I can remember him with Edge and Christian being thoroughly entertained. You know, I remember him taking the world's greatest tag team under his wing.
Go ahead, Tim. What'd you say?
I was just saying his match with Shane.
Nearly killing the boss's son. That's up there.
I was going to say he made TNA relevant when he showed up there facing Samoa Joe.
Legitimately shocking absolutely everybody by turning down the TNA Hall of Fame induction.
He is in the TNA Hall of Fame.
Well, he turned it down.
That was all story.
Yeah, still. It literally seriously shocked everybody because they thought, they didn't think it was story.
Okay.
But, the biggest deal, I think, for as far as Kurt Angle goes, he is the wrestler in WWF to put over John Cena when John Cena first came up.
Yeah. Yeah, I recall that.
Which was 20 years ago. Not 20 years ago. 14 years ago this past June.
In the Ruthless Aggression era.
Mm-hmm.
I remember John Cena making his debut. I remember Kurt, you know, making a young guy look good. I remember him trying that again with Daniel Pewter, and it was a massive mistake.
Yeah, that one didn't work out so well for him on that one. No.
Didn't work out for Daniel either.
No. I don't know what a Daniel Pewter is at this point either.
Yeah, well, Pewter almost broke his arm, so Angle actually went back to his amateur wrestling and, put him down.
Yeah, because either tap out to a complete unsigned rookie, or bullshit a pinfall, which it wasn't even close to having his shoulders on the mat, but fuck it. My arm is about to snap.
The thing I remember the most about that is the emotion that Angle had when he got into Pewter's face and just gave him shit and the cameras caught it. We don't do shit like that! This is professional wrestling! You do what you're told!
You don't wrestle here! What the fuck was that wrestling you were doing?
Shit, I remember that. That was just like, really? Wow. it was just surprising that it actually went out over the mics and they didn't bleep it out or blank it out.
No, I want to say Angle's legacy, aside from being a really, really good submission expert and, you know, just a good technical wrestler, is just being, I think, the best example we've ever had of the American gimmick, of the Patriot gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 'cause, okay, you represent your country and you win a gold medal. Okay, you're going to get a red, white, and blue uniform for the rest of your life. You just are. And he made that work to his advantage so well. Like, he is easily the guy who comes across as Mr. America before there was a Mr. America. Like, better than Mr. America, better than the Patriot, that was the red, white, and blue all-star, you know, American child gimmick.
Yep.
You know, right down, like, so wholesome he was that he did not bring a beer truck down to the ring. He brings a milk truck down to the ring.
Still one of my favorite moments of all
that
time.
That was amazing.
See, Kurt Angle knew when to be comedic, he knew when to be ruthless, and his wrestling ability, you know, stood for itself. He was one of the most all-around performers we've ever seen. He could work with anyone, basically.
Yeah, no, Angle, you know, I don't think that, I guess the best way to put it was Angle was underrated.
Yeah, because he was comedic with Steve Austin. He was comedic with Edge and Christian. He was serious when he needed to be against Chris Benoit and and Shawn Michaels and the like, and Brock Lesnar.
You said the name.
I know, I said the name we shall not mention. I know.
Oh, but, yeah, he had great matches against Redacted.
Yeah. You weren't computer voice enough when you said Redacted, Omega. But yeah. But yeah, do you want to see him come back to WWE?
I do. I actually kind of do.
Retirement run?
Retirement run. He's one of those guys who, on the way out, because he was removed because WWE thought he had a drug problem. Which, at the time, turns out, yeah.
Yeah.
So, at the time, it's like, okay, we're releasing you because you're a bigger danger to yourself than we can help with.
You're like,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I kind of get that. It's protecting themselves, kind of protecting him. They could have done better. So he really didn't get the send-off he deserved. Not for how much, like, he contributed, like, to that era of wrestling. Especially right now, when you have a couple guys coming up who are really, really good called American Alpha.
How great would it be to pair Angle up with Alpha?
You know what I want? You know, this, what would be so amazing?
Dish.
Here's Omega writing the book that they should be reading again. It should be American Alpha coming up and having a difficult time getting into the big league tag division. You know, really great in NXT tag champions. Here in the main stage, not quite getting it done. They need a little bit of leadership. They need a little bit of guidance. Out, hit the horns and the you suck chants. Kurt Angle comes out. He's going to take these guys under his wing. He's going to show them how to be the all-American tag team. You know, and, you know, give him a couple months. You know, let him manage, let his personality kind of shine through, let them play off each other. I feel like, I think Jordan and Gable have enough sense of humor to themselves that they could play off really well with Angle. I think it could be a very entertaining run.
Yeah, at the same time, though, I think all three can show some serious shit when they want to.
I want them to go 2 months together as this trio and start really making moves, have a backstage segment where they're celebrating, and all of a sudden they run square into Charlie Haas, Shelton Benjamin.
And that's
how you bring Shelton Benjamin back into the company. Not as just like this random guy coming back because, hey, we need people. Like, have like an actual purpose. Because that's the first thought everyone has. It's like, well, if Kurt Angle comes back, they should be with American Alpha because it's the American gimmick. And then other people go, you know, that tag team looks a whole lot like Kurt Angle's last tag team proteges. So you immediately lampshade it.
It almost writes itself, Omega.
It does. It means they won't do it.
Because they would have to get Charlie Haas out of retirement.
You don't have to bring him back for a match. You can just have him appear and go, dude, what the fuck?
He just can't look like Chris Harrison. We're good.
Like WWE calls you up, you come back and like you just replace us? We don't get a phone call?
Oh, it works. It works.
Yeah.
In the back of my mind, because for Kurt, you can't use him often. But you do give him a WrestleMania send-off. And to protect him, because you need to protect Kurt Angle from himself, you put him in there in a six-man tag with the American Alpha at WrestleMania. In the back of my mind, I go, who would be good opponents? You get AJ and his boys back together. You do AJ Styles in the club versus American Alpha and Kurt Angle.
America versus Japan.
There you go. That would be a hell of a WrestleMania match.
Which would not be a bad thing. Now, according to Kurt Angle, at some point in time, he was unofficially expected to come back to WWE until he had a chat with Triple H after his interview.
It's called Kurt said stuff he shouldn't have said.
And Kurt, you kind of blew it.
And he returned to WWE as being put off for a year as a result.
Wait to WrestleMania. He'll be back.
Flubbed.
It's when they tell yourself, don't say it out loud, Kurt.
So there you go. Yeah. I want to see Kurt come back. You know, let him have a retirement run, but like, you know, have a short little run and then legit retire.
Put him in the Hall of Fame, give him one final WrestleMania moment, and then just let him be an ambassador for your company.
There you go.
Put him in a match with Seth Rollins.
No. He actually has a broken freaking neck, as we've talked about. No.
Yeah, we don't need that.
We already lost one TNA Hall of Famer. We can't lose two.
Seth Rollins doesn't get along with TNA.
Maybe that's the conspiracy theory. That's why.
Make your own damn joke. I'm not just yeah. Anyway, yeah. That being said, why don't we just move on to the all-time greatest?
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Stop us now!
Final four, time to determine who is the winner in this all-time greatest SummerSlam moment conversation. It is Shawn Michaels returning to the ring in 2002, taking on Hulk Hogan versus Shawn Michaels in 2005, Omega.
That Hogan match should not have made it this far.
I agree, goddammit. Where were you last week?
In Tampa!
Shit, you should have written in or something.
But it wasn't voted on last week. Anyway. The people wanted it there, so the people got what they wanted.
The people are wrong!
What did I tell you when I got in trouble for it? See? I said the people were wrong, and you wouldn't let it go.
I love you people. I do. Your decision making is questionable. It's a funny match. For the wrong reasons.
Yep.
It's funny to watch. It's not a great moment. There's not history or legacy afterwards. It's just a parody of what it should have been. It's Shawn Michaels not doing his fucking job. It's Shawn Michaels proving, even after finding God and coming back from a career-threatening back injury, he still acts like a high school jackass from time to time.
He could still be a dick when he wanted to be.
That's not true of Shawn Michaels' actual return. Because coming back from the back injury, coming back from something that supposedly ended his career, actually getting back in the ring and still proving he could go, was a major, major thing. You know, for me personally, it was seeing my favorite childhood wrestler make a return that I never thought he would make. And that was an amazing thing for me to be able to witness. Like, by that alone, you know, and I'm gonna put a one up. The Hogan moment doesn't happen unless this moment happens. I'm just to throw that in there, but
ooh,
yeah, like just
the twists.
The two, it's not even a comparison. It's Shawn Michaels' return.
Alright, Tim.
Yeah, what he said, and then some with pepper on it. So there. Oh, come on. Yeah, you know what? Hogan Michaels, it's a memorable match for the wrong reasons. Omega said it. And I love that match because it was Hulk Hogan exerting his creative control and Shawn Michaels saying, are you fucking serious? Well, watch this, bitch. And then going on to make Hogan look like a total fucking tool in the ring. And what was even better, Hogan didn't catch on until halfway through. Halfway through, he finally figured out what Michaels was doing, got more pissed off. It was gold. It wasn't a moment. It was funny for the wrong reasons. It wasn't a moment. That was my complete bitch when the goddamn thing actually advanced over what it was up against. A moment is something huge, something fantastic, something big, something that changes the landscape. That is a moment. Shawn Michaels' return to the ring is one of those moments.
And 80% of the people agree.
Hey, you know what? They're not that dumb today.
Your decision making has improved.
Yes.
So that one moves on, taking on the first ever TLC in 2000, and the British Bulldog beating Bret Hart in 92, Omega.
Two classics for very different reasons. Okay, as good as Brett and the Bulldog were, I will give this one to TLC because it's the kind of match that we didn't think as wrestling fans was possible at the time. It was an enormous deal as a tag team match. You know, which at a time when the tag division was actually pretty strong, but you'd never say like they had the best match of the night. They never say they stole the show or that, you know, that was going to be a historical moment. This was three teams that worked together probably better than most any other tag teams we've seen, with three very different dynamics to how they wrestled, pushing each other to limits we didn't even fathom at the time. It's something that stands out because we hadn't seen that level. Yeah, it's a spot fest match. People jumping off ladders, going through tables, you know, double chair shots and all this. And of course, you remember it for the carnage. You also remember it for six guys who went through that and kept going and managed to make a complete coherent match out of what should have been an unbridled train wreck. You know, and we hold it in such high regard that we don't even laugh, that like we don't even like knock it for the pun of the name TLC. You know, it's not tender loving care, it's tables, ladders, and chairs. These men are going to try and kill each other. You know, it was just, it was that good. And it was that different from anything we had seen before and really since. Like, that kind of changed, like, the landscape of things. And it's one of the reasons why I think we're never quite happy with tag divisions anymore, because that's what we had. So that would be my vote.
All right. What do you say, Tim?
Well, you know, the first ever TLC match is a moment because it was the first of many. And there have been better TLC matches since. There have been bigger train wrecks, but there have been many better matches at SummerSlam, at other pay-per-views, than the first one. The first one is the first one, and, you know, there's always something special about something that is the first. That being said, the pay-per-view was not built around the first ever TLC match. The whole hype wasn't whether or not it was going to be historic, or it was going to be this deal or that deal, or the ability of six men to work together to pull off something that you never saw in a WWE ring before.
Actually, it was actually booked like a week or two before the event.
It was something that was, let's do this because we've got to come up with something. Well, you know, they're doing this over there at that independent show. Why don't we just, like, do that? That's what the TLC was. It was the first time in WWE. It was not the first time ever. That being said, yeah, okay, it was a moment for WWE, and I give it that credit. If it was against other things that had been on this list, maybe it would have beaten those other things. This, however, is different. WrestleMania 1992 was built around the Intercontinental Championship, not the world, the WWE World Championship. It was very much the Intercontinental Championship version of Can Hulk Hogan body slam Andre the Giant. That pay-per-view was built around that match. Were there better matches on that card? Yes, there were. But you bought a ticket and you went to that pay-per-view. You bought it on closed circuit because back then it was closed circuit. You paid your money to watch it on closed circuit to see if Hogan would be able to slam Andre. The hype, the build-up, is he going to do it? Davey Boy Smith, Bret Hart was an intercontinental match that they made the main event. That in itself is a historic thing. The entire build-up, family versus family, but it's the same damn family. And the wife is torn between her husband and her brother. And they made that a huge part of the story. And it opened the door for Bret Hart to start moving towards the heavyweight title. At the same time, giving the rub
to the British Bulldog, who was a mid-carder up until this moment. And that is way bigger than the TLC match. Huge. Biggest moment, all-time greatest between the two, British Bulldog beats Bret Hart in Wembley Stadium in London, England in 1992.
So it boils down to the people.
And there, you see, people, we told you, your vote counts.
They vote for the British Bulldog beating Bret Hart in 1992 with 67% of the vote.
So 67% of the voters are very smart voters.
Now it's not up to the people. It's up to us.
Uh-oh.
Shawn Michaels returns to the ring in 2002 versus the British Bulldog beating Bret Hart in 1992. Omega.
Three times in a row, you let him go first.
All right, fine, Tim, you go first.
No, go ahead, Omega.
No, Tim, you spoke up, go.
No, I just wanted to point that out. Go ahead, Omega.
Well, it usually would go to Mike, but Mike's not here, so I just refer it back to Omega.
Got it. Okay, let's see, the one I voted for, the one I voted against. See, Tim makes salient points. You know, it is kind of a big deal that the Intercontinental title was put ahead of the world title. It's a pay-per-view booked around the Intercontinental belt and a feud between family. That's good. The return of Shawn Michaels didn't need a belt. He wasn't coming back for a championship. He wasn't coming back, you know, to feud with the family. He was coming back to prove he could still do it. He came back against what everyone thought was the career-ending injury. You know, okay. Bret Bulldog belt. Got it. And that's a great moment. Okay, I gave it that. But it's something that at that time I could expect to see. In this case, I still give it to the thing I never thought I would ever see, which was the return of Shawn Michaels.
Rock, it's between you, me, and Omega to decide the all-time greatest on this one.
I know.
So, I am actually going to defer and have you make
Oh, God.
Before I go.
Don't do that, Tim.
Too late. I just did.
Shawn Michaels returns to the ring. It's over. Simple as that.
Now, are you just saying that because you're being a dick because I deferred and made you go before me?
Nope.
Because you have been known to do shit like that.
I know, but nope.
You've got to elaborate, son.
The point that Omega was making about Shawn Michaels, we never thought we would see him again, and he came back. I remember being down the shore, disappointed I couldn't get home to see this. But instead, ordered it down there, ordered it at home, the best money ever spent to see the return of Shawn Michaels. It was great. He came out there and he put on a show like he hasn't missed a beat in four, because he was gone for 4 years. To me, that's a moment you always remember. You remember where you were when you saw the return of Shawn Michaels. That's why.
That's why you picked Shawn Michaels.
Yep.
I see. Now, I got a funny feeling that the majority of people listening, and at least one of you two on the phone call here, are expecting me to pick Bret and Davey Boy.
No, I don't.
You don't expect me to pick that?
Nope.
Why not?
Because I know you, Tim. And I know how much, despite all the other things, you do like returns like the one you saw with Shawn Michaels.
You're really reaching there and trying to make it look like heroically good. I wasn't the world's biggest Shawn Michaels fan even before he was involved in the Montreal Screwjob. After that and his arrogant fucking attitude before he quit wrestling and found God.
He found the Jesus.
He made me want to punch him in the face if I ever saw him. I know. Would have been a stupid suicidal move on my part, but that's the way he made me feel. He came back. He was still a prick. And I had no respect for Shawn Michaels until he actually apologized to Bret. And am I being petty? Maybe. But the whole shit that went down in Montreal shouldn't have gone down the way it did. Was Brett right in asserting that he didn't want to drop the title to Sean in Montreal because it's in Canada? That's a misperception. He didn't want to drop the title to Sean at a pay-per-view because of what Sean said to him. There's no way in hell I'd ever do the same fucking thing for you, Brett. Sean was a disrespectful little shit. And I had, like I said, absolutely no respect at all whatsoever. Hated his fucking guts until, in my eyes, he manned up. And he didn't man up until he stopped talking trash about the entire incident, stopped putting Brett down, and publicly hugged Brett and buried the hatchet with Brett. And this is not me being a mark for Brett Hart. Despite the fact that, you know, everybody likes to tease me, the fact I'm a Canadian and I love, I love watching Bret Hart matches because he was one of the best technical wrestlers you have ever seen. That's all fine and dandy. That being said, fuck you, Rock. Why did I just say that?
Why, Tim?
Why did I just say fuck you, Rock?
Tell me, Tim.
Because you said you know me well enough to know better. Shawn Michaels fucking returned to the ring after a four-year layoff because of a fucked up back is a bigger moment than the British Bulldog beating Brett. But only, and you guys have to agree with me, only by a nose. Well, no, wait, that would be true. If it was Triple H, then it would be by a nose. Just by a hair. Shawn Michaels edges out the Wembley Stadium Intercontinental title.
So there you go. The all-time greatest moment in SummerSlam history, according to us, is Shawn Michaels returning to the ring in 2002.
You got a problem with that?
Well, too bad. This is our opinion. You're entitled to your own.
We would have let you vote on the main one, but we're running late on this one anyway, so.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Hey, what?
Rock, we're running over time. Pick Lindsay's card.
That has to be something about Cards Against Humanity.
Yep. Yeah, it does. Anyway, crickets.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
And that popped Kinkins in the chat room, Omega.
Yeah.
All right, Tim. It's been officially announced that the Spinner-Rooney has been retired. What is your favorite Spinner-Rooney moment?
I don't have one. I don't pay much attention.
You don't have a favorite Spinner-Rooney that Booker T has done?
No.
Why not?
Well, because it's just I just don't have one.
Okay.
I don't have an all-time greatest Spinner-Rooney moment.
Okay. Then what's your favorite Booker T moment?
Tell me. You didn't just say that. My all-time favorite Booker T moments, plural, was his series of matches against Redacted in WCW.
Okay. Omega, what is your favorite old school MTV show?
Old school MTV show?
Yes. Oh,
jeez. God, there's a bunch going through my head right now. Because I remember all the old weird ass cartoons they used to make. I didn't give a shit about Road Rules or Real World. You know, they did some fucked up animation.
Was Ren and Stimpy an MTV show?
They put it on MTV for a little while.
Okay, because
it's all Viacom, so Nickelodeon, MTV, same company.
Okay, and would that be the same with Beavis and Butthead?
No, Beavis and Butthead was not on Nickelodeon. But Beavis and Butthead was MTV.
Yeah, that's what I was asking.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they did,
I see Beavis and Butthead being on Nickelodeon.
Yeah. No, but they did like Aeon Flux, I remember. I remember The Head, which is a really fucked up and obscure cartoon. Mm-hmm. The Head was part of an oddity block with what I would call my favorite old school show, which was The Max.
Not to be confused with Max Headroom.
No, Max Headroom, fake digital guy. The Max was a possibly delusional superhero who in the real world is this big guy, big homeless guy in like purple outfit and a weird mask. But in his mind, he'd go to this other world where he was like the king of the outback. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's battling this wild monsters and protecting a jungle queen type thing. And it was this really well-written thing where you couldn't quite tell if this really was in his head or if it was a parallel world.
What was the name of the show? The Max?
The Max, with two X's.
So, continue.
I say the ending is really weird because it's based on a comic book, and they cut it off like 13 episodes in when the comic book ran way longer. So, the ending makes no fucking sense. But that said, the comic comes to, at least comes to a conclusion, but it's just as fucking insane.
So, Aeon Flux, Beavis and Butthead, The Max. They're old school. They're classics.
Mm-hmm.
Like the brand new channel, MTV Classics, which is showing Aeon Flux, Max, and Beavis Butthead.
I kind of figured you were going there with that.
And I just looked, they are showing, in fact, The Max on the channel. And Aeon Flux and Beavis and Butthead and all the old.
It's Aeon.
Aeon.
Yes, you've got Aeron.
Thank you, Omega. It was starting to piss me off. He was calling me.
Aeon Flux, whatever. Same thing.
Aeon Flux.
So one that had a shitty live action movie.
If you're going to mispronounce it, you could have at least called it Aeon Flux.
Whatever. So that's all on MTV Classics, which debuts in 5.5 hours. Alright, Tim, with the Summer Olympics coming up, what event do you think you actually stood a chance in?
When it came to high school and phys ed and track, I was actually pretty good at running track and long jump. As a matter of fact, standing long jump, my personal best was 9 feet 8 inches. Running long jump, I used to jump across my swimming pool. So,
well done. All right, Omega, cast the members of the WTR network as Pokemon.
Jesus Christ. Shit. There's a lot of fucking ones to think about. Throw me a name.
Alright. Go with Mike first.
Go with who first?
Mike.
Shit. Something in my head says Hitmonlee. I don't know why.
Just go with your first instincts.
I'm just going with it.
Alright, Subway.
God, see, here's where I don't have time to listen to this network.
Stoner, video game stoner. Go.
Slowpoke.
Too easy.
Tim.
Don't be.
What?
Preemptive. Don't be mean.
You're an Omanyte.
Why?
You don't even know. Because Omanytes are ancient Pokemon. You have to revive from fossils.
God damn it.
Right.
I didn't feel old until I came on here tonight.
The Dr. Death, Rob Parks.
That has to be a Gengar, the king of the ghost Pokemon.
Perfect.
All right, Lindsay.
You know what? After the draft, I'm making her a Chansey because it's that is the luckiest fucking Pokemon in the whole game.
All right, me.
Oh, what would you be?
A pain in the ass everything.
Fuck you, Tim.
Oh, wait.
No, you're a Magneton.
And for shits and giggles, the intern.
Oh, what? There's got to be a good analogy here somewhere. Shit. There's got to be something good. I'm gonna name him a Machoke. Cause Machoke are big muscle Pokemon, and they look like bodybuilders. They're like spoofs on pro wrestlers. But anytime you see them in the game, they're working. They're digging up turf, they're pushing boxes and crates around.
Alright, that works. Do you want to cast yourself or no?
See, I have my favorite, but there's no fucking way I'm my favorite one.
Did you make him do King Kittens?
I did.
Yeah. No, King Kittens is the one that in the games is always fucking working on something. I don't think I have one for me. Like, there's no video camera Pokemon. You know what? Just to play along, I'll call myself a Mr. Mime. Because Mr. Mime's just a fucking clown.
There you go. That'll do it for quick hits. And that's WTR, Tim.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in, everybody, just for another bullshit Sunday night. Don't forget, next Sunday we do the same thing, same time, 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern. That said, tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, it's immediately following Raw.
This is the Raw Post Show, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that goes down on the second episode of the new era of WWE, Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, and of course, Thursday night's another edition of The Rack, the multi-time, multi-award-winning program starring Lindsay Ward.
We'll talk NXT, we'll talk all the news you can possibly handle. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, which means you should subscribe to youtube.com/RackRadioShow. Follow them on Twitter and Facebook, Rack Radio Show, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, search Rack Radio Show as well. Because for the YouTube channel, you'll find all the 21 days of SummerSlam playthrough moments in SummerSlam history, including Hulk Hogan versus Shawn Michaels. That may or may not be the first one that appears tomorrow on the YouTube channel. May or may not. Follow Lindsay on Twitter at LindsayWard. Check out her artwork at behance.net/LindsayWard.
Night ish or closer to get to it. It's another edition of the wild, the wacky, the unusual, the weird, the wild, the weird, the well, shit, it's CB Radio. Tune in.
Yes, tune in for CB Radio. You never know what we'll talk about. We'll go through the list of the 101 greatest wrestlers of all the times and so much more. It's CB Radio, Saturday night's midnight ish. Hashtag blame Rob when the celebrity dies. CB Radio live on Facebook, Twitter, and .com.
All right, Brock, pause the music for a minute. Okay, serious question, and everybody vote on it. Chat room, I need Omega's input, and I need your input, Brock. Swiss chocolate, golden chocolate fudge, or French vanilla? What kind of cake am I going to make tonight?
I had to pause the music for that.
Yeah, pick a flavor.
Repeat them again.
I've got golden, golden cake, golden yellow. Swiss chocolate fudge, or French vanilla?
Yellow cake.
Okay, Rock says yellow cake. Omega?
Chocolate fudge.
Chocolate fudge. All right, now, chat room, as we go along and finish the plugs, type it in. Pick your flavor. All right, start the music.
Okay.
Unpause. All right, yeah, hey, everybody, follow Wild Talk Radio Network on the Twitter machines at Wild Talk Radio. Also, check out our Facebook, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. On Twitter, at Flames Forums. And, you know, just, like, get on the internet and bump into Omega, because he's everywhere.
Is that a throw to me?
Kinda.
Okay. Yeah, everything I do... No, wait, Rock, pause the music. Pause it. Red sock, blue sock, white sock, yellow sock.
Red sock.
Red sock.
Red
right?
sock.
Rock?
Yep.
Blue sock.
Okay. Chat room, later on, I'm going to need a sock tonight. I won't tell you for what, but I leave the decision in your hands. Okay, play the music.
Somebody picked a black sock. Was that a choice?
Don't go off script.
God damn it, that was Josh.
Everything I do can be found under the name TJ Omega, except over on Facebook where it's TJ Reviews. It's still named TJ Omega somehow, somewhere. That is my Twitter account. TJ Omega is also the website at tjomega.org. It is also the YouTube channel, which now that I'm back from MetroCon is going to be back to the usual runaround of 5 videos a week, including 2 live streams on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'm going to keep busy.
Sounds like it. You need a hobby. Wait a minute.
Yeah, sure. I need a hobby on top of this.
Yeah, there you go. He's not here tonight. He's taking the night off. But you can follow Heartbreak Mike on the Twitter machines at the WTR Oreo. I think that's his Twitter, isn't it?
The WTR Oreo on the Twitter machine. WTR Sunday on Facebook, Twitter. And for the next all-time greatest, you can vote whenever it gets put up at WrestleTalkRadio.com.
There you go. Yeah, and yeah, my thoughts going out to Mike. He's taking care of some stuff, so we'll have him back next week. That being said, are we done?
Get us on iTunes, Stitcher, search Wild Talk Radio Network. Remember, anywhere on the go, tune in radio.
There you go. Now we're done. Have yourselves a great week, everybody. Catch you next Sunday night. Chocolate frosting or
not stopping the music now. WildTalkRadio.com